Hey everyone, it's Tammy Ressler, and I am honored to be hosting another episode of the Around the Tuesday Table podcast. And today again, I have my friend and co-host, fellow integrative nutrition health coach, Deborah Smith, with us today. On today's episode, I'm excited to have with us as a special guest, Leanne Heininger. Leanne and I will be chatting about a topic that hits home for many of us, body image, and how it impacts our life, relationships, health, and really our overall well-being. Our episode title, Nothing to Wear. Goodness, have I been there? Despite having a closet full and dresser full of stuff to wear, this is interesting. This morning I went to get dressed, and sometimes I just really come casual, and today it was like I needed to like really get dressed and make myself look like I was going somewhere. So that was just an interesting observation today as I headed out the door. So I'm listening and I'm learning today alongside everyone else. So we hope to shed some light on why we think the way we do about ourselves and our bodies, how awareness and understanding with some new skills can truly move us to thinking differently. And when I say differently, I mean being in a more positive and life-giving direction. So a little about Leanne. She's a stay-at-home mama, have two twin daughters. She's been married for almost 25 years. And in the fall of 2014, one of her daughters, who at the time was 14, was diagnosed with anorexia. That diagnosis was the catalyst for Leanne obtaining a certification as an eating disorder coach from the Carolyn Costin Institute. And since then, Leanne has launched Kaleidoscope Eating Disorder and Life Skills Coaching, where she is creating an online support group for women and female caregivers of children who struggle with mental illness, and it's called A Mother's Heart. So sit back and enjoy listening to today's episode. Getting into this topic of health and wellness, Leanne, at what stage in your life did you really propel forward and think, goodness, my health and wellness is so important, some things might need to shift?
I would say my daughter's eating disorder, for sure, because there was just an awareness of things that maybe I didn't notice or pay attention to. And I didn't understand my own issues with body image, health, my relationship with food, and how nutrition really affects us in so many ways. Okay. And then of course, mental health. There was a time I felt very stuck and truly searching for understanding and answers to questions that I didn't have any of the answers. And so I was really stuck in that place, just trying to figure out things. And as a mom, I carried a lot of guilt and responsibility. And I needed to work through that with a therapist to learn skills, not only to support my daughter and her recovery, but honestly, to be more supportive of myself. Because truth be told, I can't be a supportive mother or a supportive wife if I'm not supporting my own health and well-being and taking care of nurturing myself. So as hard and scary as that journey was, there were a lot of great things that we needed to learn. The growth was very painful, and health was a big part of that too, because we did have to focus on some different things with my daughter's health. And maybe those things were things that I had not paid attention to prior. So that was my biggest leap. And that was like 6 years ago.
I'm curious, Leanne, when you say, sadly, women of all ages, what does that really look like for you? How do you see that manifesting around you, either in women that you coach, talk to, women of other kids, women in your circles? What does that look like? How does that manifest itself?
I'm 50, so probably between the 50 to 60 age range would be my group of friends. And it's just a common topic of conversation of size and shape and being uncomfortable. This age of life is going to be in my 50s, going through menopause. So I hear a lot of conversations about changing in physical and health factors. When I listen to younger high school, middle school students. I hear a lot of comparing. I hear a lot of peer-to-peer about the shape of our bodies, the size of our breasts, what is deemed pretty or perfect, ideal, you know, and even into women who are in their 20s to 30s, where we're in that stage of life where we're beginning to have children, and the fears of after you have children, is my body going to be the same? What's that going to look like? For me, it started in middle school. In seventh grade is when I had my first experience with, wow, maybe I, you know, I'm starting to notice that I don't have what other girls have, and comparing myself, you know, that's when I remember it. And that's also when I recognized it with my daughters. My daughter was diagnosed in eighth grade. In terms of like teenagers, yeah, it's been a rough patch in my household of late. You know, summertime can be difficult, bathing suits. And that's just not for young people. Bathing, I cringe, you know, when it's time to open the pool. So shorts and summer clothes, kind of had a nasty breakup with a boyfriend this summer. And those things that hurt our heart, or those traumas, the things people have said to us in the past, they get stuck in our head and they kind of blend together. And some of the conversations that I've had with my daughters have been how society and social media and peer pressure, you know, how they really affect the way we see ourselves and then what we attach to that. And when I asked my daughter, who has recovered from an eating disorder, what helped her the most in her recovery process and her struggles with body image, and she said her spirituality and her faith, learning to look at something outside of the superficial, is really what helped her a lot. But the big problem nowadays, I think, not just for young adults, but even for myself, is social media. There's so much focus on comparing and how you look and how you're perceived. I mean, what do you ladies think about that? I mean, do you feel that it's just a teenage struggle? What's been your experience in your social groups and interactions?
Weight has just always been this thing that's been talked about in our family. You know, how much you weigh or what the size of clothes that you're wearing. I mean, it's just like, I remember this when I was a little girl. Here we are at this funeral dinner, and my aunt is in her mid-70s, and she's asking what we're serving, what's the menu for the night, because she has to make sure that she can still count her Weight Watcher points. Yeah. I was so caught off guard by that in that moment, because I think in my head I had hoped and prayed that by the time you reach your 70s that it's over, that we can lay that down. I came away from that just determined in that moment, no more for me, no more. I can't say to you that, man, I walked away from it and a year later I've never thought about my weight again. But the shift has been about being healthy. Yes. It's no longer about the weight. It's no longer about the size of my clothes, but it's really about being able to do the things that I want to do with a rich and fulfilled life. So
thank you for sharing, because that was insightful, because it's truth. I mean, you know, and it is hard.
Yeah.
And you know, we would all like to say, oh, well, I don't have body image issues, but they're kind of sneaky. They kind of sneak in the back door every now and again, you know? So thank you. That's a lot.
So let me ask you this. How does changing a negative mindset move us towards something that's healthier or more honoring?
Something that I use is called the Fourfold Way. And it's a roadmap of sorts. It's in a book called The Fourfold Way, written by Angelina Ahrens. And these four steps support us from moving from superficial to a more spiritual, more balanced place. Number one, show up and be present. So are we showing up? And what part of us is showing up? Is it that superficial, how do I look, or is it my true self? And when I do show up, am I being present? Or am I future tripping down the road? Or am I back in past hurts? Am I really being present in the moment that I'm at? Two is paying attention. So what do we pay attention to? Because our energy follows our thoughts. So if we are only paying attention to the size of our body, we are not really paying any attention to the other things in life, the size of our heart, the size of our friendships, the value in our self-worth. Three is, and this is a tough one, this is telling the truth without judgment, trying to remain neutral and objective. That's really hard when it comes to our body. Really hard for us to be neutral and not objective. And lastly, number four, not being attached to the results. So that speaks to acceptance of the reality versus resistance. And that doesn't mean that our bodies can't change. But what that does mean is we need to accept our body and accept ourselves where we are today. And yeah, that's a tough one too. Those are some of the things that I use in my personal life, in my coaching, and in my parenting.
Oh my gosh, so much to think about in each one of those. So can we talk about what that looks like for you to show up?
Yeah. The goal for me is not to fixate on all the external things, to be present with myself and with the people that are around me, mm-hmm. present, really present, and allow awareness then to stop those disordered thoughts or that ego thinking. In my training with CCI, the soul self is like the number one thing. It instills a sense of soul, a spiritual connection with self, instead of focusing strictly on the body or body image. Your soul or your heart, that's what the most important thing is. And getting people to recognize that and buy into it, which, by the way, if we think back to what I said about my daughter, that was the number one thing that she said helped her regarding her healing journey. It was the most important thing through all of her therapy. When she was in treatment for her eating disorder, her spiritual work. And when she realized that that was an inside job, that wasn't an outside job. And using this fourfold way will help you with the distorted thinking and support you as you begin to practice being more mindful. And it's like armoring up. So when all those superficial, nasty, sitting on your shoulder things start triggering you. It really, that those four steps and skills are where we can really begin to help us. It helps me. It can help you. It can help the people that we work with or the people in our lives to really talk back to those distorted thoughts and beliefs and to help you tolerate those feelings. You know, if you're not comfortable with your body, because you may be in a place where you're not comfortable, mm-hmm. and you might have to tolerate that and be present in that and connect with more of that spirit part of you, that soul self part of you.
Mm-hmm. Goodness, I wonder if this is speaking to anyone else but me. Like, the things you're saying are so resonating. Like, So curious. Do you have any tips for us when we find someone on the floor screaming, I have nothing to wear, and their emotions are all over the place, and we hear that onslaught of words that we know have come out of our own mouths saying all those things that are wrong with body and body image?
Yeah, I do. Mm. Once again, it's like, were you in my house over the summer? You know,
I mean,
so yeah, I do. And, you know, the first thing is for me, pause, take a deep breath, not jumping in and trying to fix it, which when I'm dealing with my daughters and they're in pain, or if I'm dealing with a friend that's in pain, it's hard. But I can't have that writing reflex where I want to fix it. So I'm going to pause. I'm going to let them cry, let them get it out of their system, sit with them, breathe. And then my daughter's therapist gave me the best advice years ago. And it is just to ask calmly a few questions. And so you can pick any of these.
So are you going to share with us?
Yes, okay. I am. Very helpful.
Okay.
It's what do
everybody
you need?
Everybody get your pens and papers, right?
Papers.
Or
They're
your phone.
Yes. Exactly. Because we all need to remember these. I know.
Okay.
Ready. So it's what do you need? Do you need me to listen? Because sometimes people just simply need to speak their truth or their struggle or their fear. Do you need my advice? Do you need me to do something for you? Or do you simply just need to sit quietly and process by yourself? Any one of these questions is a great way to start a conversation with somebody who is struggling and needs some support.
And what's striking to me is that it is, do you need me to listen as a single question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need my advice as a single question? Because I think I'm willing to bet that for most of us, do you need me to listen and do you need my advice? Whether you want it or ask for it or not, I'm going to give it to you, because it goes back to that fixing, right? So these are independent questions. And that's what struck me about that. Is that it wasn't listen and offer advice. It was listen without respond.
Period.
It is a full sentence, folks. Period. Right?
When they say yes, listen.
And then you can ask, do you need my advice? And they're going to offer a yes or a no. And if it's a no, even if you have something that you think is going to help, stop. Right?
Yes. Zip it.
Yeah.
Or it may be a yes, no, or maybe later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've said
or
that.
Or maybe, you know, and a lot of times I find it's a, you know, I don't really know what I need. And they might need a few minutes to really figure out exactly what it is they do need.
And that's what I think I love about the follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. What do you need is maybe they can articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't, you're giving them pause, and then I call that just tossing out some brainstorm ideas. Mm-hmm. Like, do you need me to listen?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need advice? So that's what I like. It actually then gives us concrete things to be able to ask someone to stay out of that fix it mode.
Mm-hmm. You know, learning that to ask. I think that's hard for
asking permission.
Hard for me. It's hard for me to ask if they want my advice.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Deborah was saying, I want to give it. I want to, you know, I'm going to give you this. You have a full closet full of clothes. Come on now.
And here, this outfit looks the best on you. So put it on. Get going.
Let's get going. Yeah. And that really doesn't create an open conversation where the person is feeling heard and their feelings being valid, you know? And so, it's a much calmer way to approach someone in that state.
So one last question for you, because you've been open about your faith, curious if there is a scripture truth, or what is it that you hang on to that has maybe impacted you most in this area?
Well, for me, I actually have a bracelet, which your listeners can't see, but it's pink and it's beautiful. And my dear friend, who is my partner in our group, A Mother's Heart, made it for me. And it is from Paul's Prayer for Spiritual Growth, which is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15 through 19. And she actually wrote remember on it. Mm. So it says remember. This bracelet is a reminder to me of what we already know about ourselves. and I need it. That's why I wear it every day. Sometimes it's not about learning a lesson, but more about remembering who we are. Because have you ever said that, God, what lesson are you trying to teach me here?
Yes, Smitty and I 2 days ago.
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes for me, I think it's more about remembering. It's more about remembering who we are and that we are loved and we are children of God. And we're so much more than what's on the outside of us.
Amen.
We're beloved and we're chosen. And when I'm struggling with body image, for some reason, I have a really hard time remembering that. Those are very loud. Yeah. And my memory becomes very quiet. So my dear friend gave me this bracelet. And if you guys don't mind, would you like me to share it?
Absolutely.
Okay. What I would like, as you're listening to the verse, three words that I really focus on in this verse that really spoke to me, and it was the reason my friend gave it to me, was the words inner being, measure, and fullness. So it is, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So if I'm going to measure myself, I'm going to measure myself with the love of God. My inner being is where my strength comes from, which was placed in me by God. And if I'm going to be full of something, I'm going to be full of God's love.
Remember, we are beloved. Leanne, thank you so much for joining us today. Gosh, you've shared some tender pieces of your heart, have definitely given us insight, guidance on this, I call it a tough topic of body image. Yeah. I plan to look more into that fourfold way tool. I'm like, ooh.
Great.
There's some good stuff there. So thanks for introducing that to us. Love the verse. So you can find more information about Leanne and her services at K-Scope Coaching, KSCOPE coaching.com. And we want to mention here that Leanne is currently in the process of creating an online support group for women and female caregivers of children who are struggling with mental illness called A Mother's Heart. So if you're interested, you can contact Leanne through her webpage, again, kscopecoaching.com, and we'll be dropping her information in our show notes for future reference.
Thank you, ladies.
That's a wrap, y'all. Well done.